Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Cathan's Craft Collective. This week the blather is on friendship and the textile technique is flower pounding, and I'll give you an update on the collective's accomplishments this week. So get your tea and your craft and I'll tell you what a crack is from Cathan's this week. Firstly, the news. There was obviously the shocking tragic news in the mass shooting in Cumbria last week, and as this is such an unusual occurrence in Britain, I felt like I had to mention it, and that the whole country was so shocked and saddened by this one man's terrifying actions. I would like to dedicate this episode to anybody who has been affected, and I do send you my deepest sympathies. I hope you can take each day as it comes and get all the help you need in the days ahead. And there is no right or wrong way to grieve, so just do it your way, but make sure you do grieve. So that's the serious part over. Moving on to news closer to home, although it does sound trivial in comparison. Cathan's Quilters had their Cathan's Highland Trophy Challenge 2010 competition, A Walk on the Wild Side, which Highland Quilters from Inverness attended. Members were invited to take a walk on the wild side and create a quilted item inspired by these words. And my mum attended this and took some wonderful photos. There was a pink 3D elephant, there were leather 3D elephants and pattern 3D elephants all along the entrance to the church foyer. There were some amazing quilts and panels and 3D work, and the competition was very close and with 1 point in it, and I am delighted to say that Dorothy from Cathan's Quilters and my textile artist group won the overall prize. She has a wall hanging of a deer looking back at her surrounded by trees by a lake, and it is simply wonderful and completely unique. I have photos of it, as she was kind enough to take it to show me, and really the photos don't do it justice when you see it in the flesh. There's a lot to see, and the eye is taken around the picture, and the different techniques are done with an expert eye, and the colours in it are just delicious. So congratulations to Dorothy, who said she enjoyed doing it so much that she missed it once she had finished. Now that's pure crafting. I also have a photo of my mum's penguin entry, and the story is behind this that my mum was looking at the internet for inspiration, and she found a picture of a penguin chick leaning over inspecting a man's footprints. The photographer had said that he'd been walking along and he looked back to see this big penguin chick looking down and inspecting his footprints, leaving his own. And it's a brilliant photograph and my mum has done it justice. And it hangs at the top of her stairs and it really is very nice to come up the stairs to. There is a photograph on the Flickr of the Podbean website. I also have a photograph of Valerie's 3D birdie. It doesn't have a name and she was up to stupid o'clock making it. It's fair got a character to it, albeit she hasn't given it a name yet. It has quilted wings and it was standing on a piece of handmade silk paper which had various petals and bits of material throughout the paper. So I believe they had a great day and Highland Quilters enjoy their trip north. And next year is Down with Highland Quilters and the topic is food for thought. So if any new members would like to come along, that is your challenge for next year. My other news is that I had two comments on the blog, one from Sarah, thank you my friend, she puts me right about sheeps and gadgets. And the other comment was from Nick, who does Yarn from the Plane podcast. Now, I'm quite delighted on the fact that I haven't actually specifically told her that I'm doing this, and she must have found it in her own way, and she said she'd listened. Woohoo! So it's really cool, delighted with that. Thank you, Nick. You and Hoxton are my inspiration. I feel like a wee schoolgirl. Anyway, on to the blather this week. Can you tell that this is scripted? And I am very glad that it is scripted because I did it all last night. I went to save it and yet again it crashed and lost the whole lot. So I had blather for 40 minutes, which is kind of not unusual for me. That's without editing. I normally edit it down to about half an hour. And it just crashed, completely lost it. So I stamped my foot a little bit. I went downstairs and I knitted. I was a bit grumpy. But tonight, if I sound a little bit grumpy, it's because I know I have to go and do the accounts. Joy. However, I get paid for it, so I'm not going to complain too much. But on to the blather, much more interesting things. Friends, I've listened back to a few of my podcasts with my husband the other night. He didn't laugh too much. And apart from noticing my mistakes, which obviously you won't notice, I did notice that I talked about my friends quite a lot. And I thought, well, friends must be quite important to me. And I thought, oh, this will make quite a nice subject for podcasting about. Sorry, you hear the chair again? Yep, same chair. Right, so the definition of chairs. They'll be noisy objects that you sit on. The definition of friends. I looked up Wikipedia and it says, partners in friendship, an interpersonal relationship between humans. Value that is found in friendship is often the result of a friend demonstrating that the following on a consistent basis. Bullet point 1. The tendency to desire what is best for the other. Bullet point 2. Sympathy and empathy. Bullet point 3. Honesty, perhaps in situations where it may be difficult for others to speak the truth, especially in terms of pointing out the perceived faults of one's counterpart. That's a bit posh. Bullet point 4, mutual understanding. And finally, bullet point 5, mutual compassion. Did you like the fact I was telling you where the bullet points were? Just so that you were fully aware of that. But also, when you put in friends to the search engine Google, there are other ones available, it comes up with lots of interesting sites, such as Friends Reunited, Friends Providence, The Compassionate French, which is www.tcf.org.uk, who support bereaved families and their families by those similarly bereaved, which I thought was quite appropriate this week. And there's Friends of the Earth, Forever Friends, Friends the TV programme, and my favourite, Fisherman's Friends. Yum. Don't know if you get these in the United States, but they're small lozenges and they're very, very strong for if you've got a sore throat. Apparently fishermen used to soak on them. And they're quite a strong taste. I think they're aniseed or something, but they're really strong. So, plants have friends, which is like a companion planting type of thing. And to keep the carrot fly away, they recommend planting onions between the rows. Now, this would be great if my carrots bothered to make an appearance this year, but I've got rates of onions and I'll use them, so I won't complain too much. Humans have animal friends, and animals also have friends. The gorilla and the kitten, I don't know if this is an urban myth, but I think it's a quite a funny one. I think I saw it on one of the comedy programmes recently. And apparently, like, donkeys like to be companions for stallions. Well, this gorilla was kept in a zoo and it had a little kitten as its companion. So one day, for some reason or other, the gorilla went absolutely mental and pulled off the sink to the pen that it's in. And when the keeper came in, he asked the gorilla in sign language, "Who did this?" like a naughty little child. And the gorilla pointed to the kitten. I thought that was quite funny. Yeah, because the kitten is super. Anyway, there's man's best friend and, well, there's cats. I'm going to say I'm a dog person and I can see why people like cats, but I'm allergic to them, so I don't have one. We have a Lakeland Patterdale Terrier and he is a great wee friend and due to his wiry coat, he doesn't make me sneeze. He's full of character and he's a bit of a mouser, so he's quite good in that respect, so I don't need a cat. And he's great to talk to if you don't want an answer back. I often think you'd have quite a good conversation with him, but then I think, my 4-year-old son never shuts up. So to have the dog as well, nah, I think I'll live with the fact he doesn't talk. But I thought, I'm saying that he's one of my best friends. I came home from nursery yesterday and I was home for at least half an hour before I realised that the dog wasn't there and I was looking around going, "Sandy, did the dog come out when we opened the door?" And Sandy says, "I can't remember." And I says, "Neither can I." And the dog doesn't normally go out quite that long. And we live in the country and he can be out for quite a while, just roaming around the garden. But turns out he wasn't in the house, he wasn't in the garden, he was away with my husband. I didn't notice and I feel quite bad, so I was soaking up on the rest of the day. So, onwards and upwards. I was trying to remember the theme tune to the American sitcom Friends. But the Golden Girls tune keep beating it into my head. And it's a "thank you for being a friend" line that went round and round my head. In fact, I can still hear it. But I did read the sad news of Rue McClanahan's passing. Sorry if I've not said that right. And she was 76 this week. And she was my favourite Golden Girl. So I'm sad she's gone. But I'm glad she was also able to entertain me. I have friends from when I was at nursery. Still, that's getting on for 32 years, so we must really quite like each other. But what makes you actually like somebody? Is it because they're the same age of you? Or they work in the same place of you? Or because you hold the same interests and things in common? I think to be a well-rounded person, you do need a wide range of friends. You need the person from nursery who remembers you covered in snow to pee in your pants to keep you grounded. But don't worry, you can remember them peeing your pants and covered in snot as well, so it works both ways there. They can tell you if you are right or wrong, and you don't get offended, mainly because, well, you actually know that you're wrong too. You need the work friends, because you do spend a lot of time with them, at least 35 hours a week, generally, and it helps to get along with them. I have some brilliant work friends and colleagues whom I hold very dear to my heart, and if the day at work was a bit poor, then you knew you could all pull together and get through the day. I was sometimes thrown chocolate bars like a monkey in the zoo because they said I had a face on me like was a bulldog chewing a wasp. The combination of the chocolate and the laughing would soon cheer me up. Sometimes I still get chocolate thrown at me, but I object to the bulldog chewing a wasp. You need the friends that you do hobbies and crafts with. They inspire and they teach you at the same time as sharing your passions for your craft or your hobby or whatever it is. Like the hillwalker, for instance, my husband, who would get up at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning, head up to the hills with a flask of tea, a soaring malt loaf and Willie Crawford's meat pie. They couldn't see a thing because the clag was down, but they'd go up anyway and they'd have a feast at the top, and they're just doing what they love and their friendship grows because they're sharing this experience and someone who enjoys the same thing. And they'd have tales of it. Aye, the weather was poor that day, aye. Sounds like a farmer. In fact, Willie is a farmer, so there you go. And then the next Saturday, they're up at 5 o'clock again and they head to the hills, but this time the sun is splitting the sky and they can see from Glencoe to Cairngorm. They sit at the top of Point Five Gully and Ben Nevis, and, well, that cup of tea tastes fantastic because they're spending it with their friends. So you need your friends to share the good times and the bad times. You know who you can call when you need help with a knitting pattern. You can't fathom out, or you need someone to pick up the bairn from nursery at the garage in Thurso is taking forever and you know you won't be back in time. Also, for all those that have had something desperately sad happen to them, the friends are there to pick you up, dust you off and get you on your way again. True friendship happens when you need something and that other person gives without any want or payment or thanks. Although it is nice to try and thank them, that is quite important. Actually, when I was down at my friend's in Aberdeen, she had a card up on her bookcase that I had sent her years ago. And this was after Sandy was born. And, well, I was adjusting to being a new mum and she'd regularly phone to see how I was. She was down in Aberdeen and couldn't come round to do the practical things, but she did let me bend her ear about the sleepless nights and the crying baby. So when it did get easier, as it does, I sent her a card and lo and behold, she still got it on display. I joke she just pulled it out of the cupboard before we arrived, but she says, no, it always stays there and I like it. My friends, thankfully, get past the fact that I don't phone them much for a blether. I text or email them. Hobby always says, well, why don't you just ring them? And I reply, well, because then they think there was something wrong. It's because that's generally the only time I ever ring anyone. I like getting emails or texts, and especially letters. Ooh, remember letters. When was the last time you got a letter in the post? Mine's was quite a while ago now, and I miss them so. But then, technology is a wonderful thing, and, well, I can play dominoes with my mum whilst chatting to her online. Although she does cheat. She says she doesn't and she says she can't, but she does. I count my husband and my mum as my best friends. I'm very fortunate in this and very blessed. They say you can choose your friends but not your relations, which is true because I don't get on with all my relations. And I tend to have a lot of craft friends. My mum gave me a card when I went to university and I will read it to you to finish this blather. And it made me cry when I opened it as she and Dad left me in the halls of residence all those years ago now. But then, about an hour after it, there was a knock at the door, and then there were some other new students seeing who was there, and that was me, off to the pub, new friends in tow. Now, this is a religious one, as my mum does go to church, but don't let that put them off, because it's the sentiment I'm aiming for. So here's the poem. I said a prayer for you today, and I know God must have heard. I felt the answer in my heart, although he spoke not a word. I didn't ask for wealth or fame, I knew you wouldn't mind. I asked for a priceless treasure rare of a more lasting kind. I prayed that he'd be near you at the start of each new day to grant you health and blessings fair and friends to share your way. I asked for happiness for you in all things great and small, but that you'd know his loving care I prayed the most of all. Since then, after 18 years, I have been very blessed with all my friends, my new friends, my old friends. So if you're one of my friends, hello, and thank you for being my friend. And because I'm your friend, I won't sing that last line. So, on to textile artists. And today I'm going to discuss the art of flower pounding. Celia came out with a hammer last week and proceeded to bash the living daylights off a poor innocent flower. She'd heard of a technique that transferred the flower pigment colour and shape onto material. And this is a great technique if you're in a bit of a bad mood. You need some material, which is pre-soaked in soda ash or soda crystals and dried, and some wax paper or cling film or sellotape, a hammer, which a rubber mallet sort of seemed quite good, a wooden board to bash it on to save your table, and some flowers and leaves. So you get your material, you put it on flat onto the wooden board, and then you lay the flower head facing into the material, and you cover it with the wax paper or the cling film or the sellotape, and then you bash the living daylights out the poor wee flower until the image transfers onto the material. And it looked incredibly good fun and quite good stress relief. And I wonder why we like being so destructive. It must be the inner toddler in us. And it does fade in time, but if you make something that doesn't receive direct sunlight, that would help. And I'm thinking like handbag insides or the back of a quilt or something that's not going to go on the wall. And flowers that seemed to be good were pansies, impatiens, lobelia and marigolds. Ahem. That's what it says in my script. Ahem. There were some marigolds newly planted in the church garden as I eyed up on my way out of textile artist, but as Alice, who does the gardening, would throttle me, and well, it's the church, I obviously left them alone. But I did think about it. Anyway, there's a great tutorial on www.gaygardener.com/features/crafts/flower1. But don't worry, I'll put that link up onto the show notes. And this mentions pounding onto paper as well as materials, which is great for card makers. And it suggests making your own stationery set, but you do have to use a heavier weight of paper, such as watercolour paper. And I've been eyeing up all the wild flowers on the way down to the harbour this week, but I've not got my material organised yet or my time management sorted, so I haven't picked any. And don't worry, it's the sort of things like buttercups, and we do get plenty of violas down there, and Scottish primroses, also daisies. But I think daisy might be better onto a coloured piece of material. But it's just the start of the summer, so I must try this technique. I was looking at Mum's garden as well and told her about it, so I will take pictures if I do it. So I have taken some photos of my Evalon samples from last week, and they'll be on Flickr, so you can reference what I was talking about last time. Also, the big projects are coming on. We are having our last meeting Monday coming, and I have to get my big project finished. Well, not finished, but to the point of taking it in and being able to show it off, because just now I've got the canvas, and I've got all the little bits, but not stuck on. And I was contemplating how I was going to stick it on. I was thinking a hot glue gun, but I might use wallpaper paste. So for the month of May, the word was texture, and I made a little pile of logs, because we have a wood-burning stove, so we have a big log pile outside. And I used a piece from my old wicker laundry basket. It was like a long, thin, not quite bamboo pole type, but I chopped it into 4-inch pieces, and I coloured them in with brown felt paints, because I am an inner child. Then I wrapped them using embroidery threads, and then I hot glued them together to make a big pile. Thought they were pretty cool, actually, they've come out quite well. And also manipulated and pleated was the other two parts of the project. So I have done this to depict the cliffs of Dunnet Head. And I used a brown pair of trousers. I roughly cut out the shape and hemmed it in, and Daisy sat on my knee whilst I used the sewing machine, and I thought, why is the tension going off on this weird, and it was going all loopy, and I looked up, and I'm trying to keep her fingers away from the moving parts, but she's playing with the tension wheel. So tip one, don't have a toddler on your knee when you use a sewing machine. It's not a good idea. She was having a great time. So I got the background of it, and then I got extra material and I folded it in on itself, and then I did a running and basting stitch all over it in a brown to keep it down, and it's kind of cliffy looking. I haven't gone too much in embroidery on it, because it's just to give an idea of the cliffs, because you can't see too much of the texture of the cliffs from here. And, I've got written down that I listened to a great podcast from Radio 4 on the history of the Cavendish family when I was doing this, and it was very good. Henry Cavendish discovered hydrogen, and they also had a lot of money, and they made Eastbourne and another town in Britain. So they had lots of money, very scientist, but all around, it's quite interesting. Quite highbrow for me. So, moving back. Also for texture, I have made an old farm building from upholstery textured piece and from ticking material. The ticking material is in lines, and I laid grey wool I got from Sarah and some brown wool. Can you remember the brown wool I got from Orkney, from my friend in the last podcast? Just the ticket. Lovely colour. Not as fat as it maybe could have been, but it adds to the texture of it. So I laid it along the lines of the ticking material, and I couched them on diagonally, and they resemble slates for the roof. And then the upholstery material is quite textured, so it resembles the stonework of the building. And this was pretty cool because Valerie had come in on Monday with a big pile of bits of upholstered material she'd been given from like a sample book from someone. So I passed it round, and some people took quite a bit, some people didn't take any, some people like me just took a bit. And it's always just the bits that you need for these kind of things, and it was just spot on timing. Thank you, Valerie. Next month is abstract, and remember, I don't really do abstract, so I've had to think about it quite considerably, and I've looked on Etsy to get some ideas, and also Google Images. So I've decided not to do my house as abstract, but to do the lighthouses and the houses on the island of Stroma abstractly. So it's only taken me 6 months to get to that point, but I did say I'd get there, and I will. So for the house, I'm going to get a photo of it, and I'm going to print it onto Evelyn, because I was quite impressed with its printing capacity. A top tip I was given at Textile Artists that I didn't mention on the podcast, but I did in the notes, was put your Evelyn onto freezer paper and then put it through the machine, because it seems to adhere to it a bit better and be quite happy to go through the printer then. I might then embroider over the photograph or leave it as it is, sort of the jewel in the crown of the middle of the canvas, as it were. I've still got quite a bit of painting to do, and I have sewn together three strips of material for the sky, which goes from a light blue with dispersed dyes on top to depict the sunset, and then it goes from sort of a deep red, and then the next material is black with orange, and the black and orange was an old t-shirt, and it had household bleach put on it, and this was discharged because it took the colour out of it, and this is to depict the northern lights. I have roughly sewn them together in a strip, but I have to cover the joins so they blend in rather than the current harsh line, and I also have some small star buttons to sew onto the night sky. It has slightly mucked up my placement of my shadow of my windmill, but I think I'll get away with it as long as none of you lot tell anybody. We've had some lovely show and tells at Textiles. Helen has made a blind for her ensuite using luchador material, which has had the dispersed inks ironed on to give a colour, and then she's used her embroidery machine to make a garden of flowers and beasties to sew over. It's a great idea because luchador is very sturdy and it also has the see-through capacity. Catherine has discharged her velvet. She had a piece of terracotta velvet and she used neat household bleach on a template of a sun, and then she put wadding behind it and she's stitching a face onto the sun. Shirley has finished embroidering her piece of Evelyn that we painted a few weeks ago. Well, rather, she painted it, but then she put over a piece of organza and she's hand embroidered right over it, and it's really lovely. Dorothy had brought bubble paints back from Holland, and she was testing these out by stamping a fern leaf onto her material that we dyed at the dyeing day in April. Celia was making a workstation bag for her friend from a blue printed flower material, and it was really lovely. It's a metre of material that goes into this, and it's got a pin cushion through the middle and then pockets on the side. My mum's made me one out of red material and it's very handy. Ella was making earrings from a kit she received in a magazine, as her craft room has been painted and reorganised, and she said she can't find anything else. I think she must have listened to Space, and she must have that magazine because she's reorganising her craft room. I'm kind of hoping she'll come round here and do mine, but I can't see it. I'm just dead jealous. Anne had her look to door, which she had also ironed onto the dispersed dye papers, and she has needle felted separately some small people and then needle felted them onto the luchador, and she was making it into a pendant like a banner. It's been a very busy and a very interesting few weeks, and as next Monday's to be her last session until September, we're going to do some more dispersed dye papers to keep us going. And also throughout the summer, I don't think I'll go away too much, because I do have quite a few techniques to catch you up all on. So, on to Vimto Club, which is the craft club that I go to. Well, after me rattling on about going to Jenny's house for pancakes, I didn't make it due to being gazumped by my husband's work committee meeting. I was well narked, but I used the time wisely, and I edited the last podcast and did a bit of knitting, and stamped my foot quite a lot. I believe Jenny showed everyone how to make the best pancakes in Caithness, and everyone else knitted. Sarah has now some felted slippers in a grey serge or eco wool, and she is wearing them. She does have bits to sew on and some nice buttons to go. Mum has been doing her penguin hanging for the quilters competition, and she's also finished her premature baby jacket for the Canisby show. They are very, very cute and very, very tiny. Naomi goes from strength to strength with her knitting. I met her in Thurso one afternoon and I stalked her about the town. We met in Elizabeth's, and she was in the bargain bin and found some lovely wool for £2 a ball. And it's Wendy Fusion, and it's a variegated colour, and it's chunky and nice and soft. I had decided I wanted to make a berry bag for my friend's birthday present, and I got 2 balls of turmeric. She bought some Wendy Fusion in a purple pink colour and proceeded to make her friend's new baby girl a lovely kimono. And she has even altered the pattern to suit herself, and it is lovely. The next Vimto is tomorrow night, and I'm going to interview a couple of them, so I might have them in next podcast, depends on if they actually want to speak or not, but I shall let you know what happens there. So, on to me, finally. I finished my Everyone's Doing It shrug and the crocheted bag, and it toned in beautifully with the outfit, and I even managed to sew an insert, and my mum said it was neat, into the bag. I was quite delighted because I didn't use a pattern. I've called it the yawn by yawn bag because yawn is a kind of Caithness word for that. So I cast it on, I can't remember how many stitches, and I crocheted it until it was 13 rows high. And if you were listening carefully in the last podcast, 23 centimetres by 23 centimetres is a square, not a rectangle. Yes, I did notice that. And I was tempted to edit it out, but I thought it was quite funny. Show what a spoon I am sometimes. So I did 2 separate rectangles and then I attached them together by a double crochet stitch around 3 sides. I had bag handles, which was a gift from Let's Knit magazine from ages ago, and I've attached them to the front and the back by crocheting. I then made 2 flowers from the light pink of the variegated wool because it seemed to go on forever at the end of the ball, and I wanted it changed over quickly, so it has made a very nice flower. And then I sewed on some seed beads in the middle that I had received from Ella at Textile Artists as a present from Australia, which was very kind of her. I had half a fat quarter in my stash, which I used my mat and rotary cutter, and I measured, I wrote it out, I measured again, and well, it turned out quite well. And it was quite easy. I didn't do a gusset though. I enjoyed making that bag, and like Dorothy, making her winning Caithness Quilter entry, I was a bit lost when I finished it. So there are photos of the shrug and the bag on Flickr. I scrubbed up pretty well, and sadly it did rain, and it wasn't very warm, but it was a good day, and we had a lovely time with my friend, who was the sister of the groom and her family. And we were made very welcome by the bride's family, and there were kilts yahoo, and it was a very traditional Scottish wedding, and I even had haggis for starters. Also, the shrug, because it was quite a loose knit, I think I'll sew it up a little bit up the arms to keep it on a bit more, but I had it on, I had it off, I had it on, I had it off. It's just really lovely. I think I might do some more. And also, I quite liked knitting and crocheting for me, because I don't do that. And it felt quite selfish in a way, but I do have some wool that is too nice, like the Colonnette mint art, I think it is, and that's for me. It was going to be for Daisy, but it's for me. I just need to find a good pattern. Back to me, because it's all about me. I have been madly knitting a baby blue cardigan I'll put the link to this on the blog notes. It's clickertyclick.blogspot. Although I think it'll be too small for the baby I have in mind for it, it's a great wee pattern, it's knitted from the top down, and I'm using Chamonix double knit light blue wool, which I got from Lidl's, which is sturdy and it's acrylic and it's a bonny blue. It's quite soft as well. I need to make a cardigan or a hoodie for a 3 to 6 month baby boy, and well, I'm still sourcing a pattern. I had one in my Debbie Bliss Baby Knits for Beginners, but it looks a bit too hard and too much texture and pattern. I know, for beginners, yeah, I know. I'm supposed to stretch myself, but sometimes I do need something that's quite mindless and not too much pattern. But any thoughts, gratefully received. And I've got written here, I am great at stocking stitch, a hem. Got a muppet. So I've also cast on a berry bag for my friend's birthday. And I'm using the Wendy Fusion variegated yarn, and it's turning out really lovely. I'm on the second side, and I've just cable casting on the handle, and then it's to get sewn together and then felted. And also I'm making a purse as well, and I've got one side done already. Now, the start of the variegated colour seemed to be the same brown for ages and ages and ages with the second ball of wool that I had. And when I put it with the first side of the handbag, I thought, I'm not so sure it actually looks quite good, because I thought it might be quite plain for the back, but so I decided it would be quite good for the purse, and I cast it off at 19 rows instead of 28. So I was on YouTube working out how to use double-ended pin needles, why can I not say this, DPNs, and then the cable casting for the handle. And I had a look at doing magic loop, and I tried it. I can see the science behind it, but my hands just weren't doing what the wifey was doing. But if I come into money, I will buy myself a whole set of Nick Pitt's cable set. I'm debating the wooden ones versus the plastic ones. That, and I'd love some of my own carders for carding wool. And more material, probably more wool, and a whole set of crochet hooks. That is my wish list for if I ever come into money. And a new wardrobe. I'm not bothered about the car, as long as it goes. Sorry, I digress. And I received a box full of calendars to make envelopes for my textile artist friends, which I'm itching to get into. There was one that had a field of sunflowers, which we thought was quite funny, because on Saturday night, Doctor Who met Van Gogh, and he was painting the sunflowers. But it's a really lovely picture, and it'll come out as a really nice envelope. So I've decided, hopefully, to make up loads and take them in on Monday, and hopefully everybody could have a few. So I had made a birthday card for Ella's special birthday last week, and forgot to take a photo of it, which isn't like me. And I used a calendar envelope of Dumbeath Castle, which is a castle in Caithness. And she noticed, and so did her husband. And she commented on it as well, so I was really chuffed with that. Because, well, I haven't been away anywhere to buy presents to take back, so it's been quite nice to give something back to show my appreciation of the help, of the knowledge shared, and of the fellowship that I get on a Monday. So I think that's about it for this episode. So thank you all for listening, all 203 subscribers of you, which is very, very cool. If you would like to contact me, please do so on www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com or caithnesscraftcollective@googlemail.com or on Ravelry as my real name, as Louise J. Hunt. And the music is back this week. Has anybody noticed or cared that it wasn't there? Does anybody have a preference? So the music is from www.musicalley.com, Wild Mountain Time by Mark Gunn, I have to say that. And thank you for listening. Keep on crafting.